Welcome to Crinners and Coffee Shops, everyone. My name is Heather. Today I have the Aqua Dolls here to chat about their new single, Disappearing Girl, as well as some other fun things. To start us off, I would love to have you guys intro yourselves and share which positions you are in the band.
Hi, I'll go first. I'm Melissa. I play guitar and I sing, and I love to rock. I don't know what position that is, but yeah.
I'm Kayla. I play bass and I also sing and I also like to rock.
I'm Jackie and I play drums and sing a little and yeah, rock and roll.
I also like to rock.
We're already starting out with so much in common.
Woo! Obviously, that's why we're here.
Yes.
So to kind of get us started on your guys' music, you have a new single, Disappearing Girl. Congrats.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Woo. For those who haven't rocked out to it yet, what should listeners expect lyrically and instrumentally from the single?
I'll speak on it, I suppose. But yeah, the song is kind of more of a darker song than what we usually put out. But it's just about self-love and being in a relationship that maybe isn't really working out. And you need to focus on yourself and maybe you disappear. So the disappearing girl is kind of just like finding the love within yourself. And musically, it's got some nice guitar, some reverb, a little bit of tambourine, some kick drum banging throughout, and it's kind of like a down-tempo song, but it also has dance parts in the chorus, so it's kind of like chill vibes, but also rock and roll vibes, too.
Yeah. Definitely agree with everything she just said.
Yes.
And how would you say that, like, the songwriting, recording, and even, like, the marketing process, because, you know, that's very important nowadays, have been similar or different between the single and like your past works?
Well, this song, we wrote it quite a while ago, actually. Like right before the pandemic hit, we wrote it in like December/January of 2019 going into 2020. And that's when we recorded it and we held on to it for quite a while. This is our first single released on the record label we just signed to on NC Records. So it was kind of the first release that we've had as a band that was backed by a label that had, we have like a publicist, we were doing interviews, we had like some radio stuff, we had Spotify playlists. So it was really exciting because before it was kind of just us trying to get as much promotion going for it, like with our platform. But having a team behind us, I think really, really helped with getting people to listen. I think having a really big festival in between all of that, we had Lollapalooza right before the drop, or I think it was right after the drop. So we had like a festival leading up. So I think it was really nice having a team, making sure that everything lined up really perfectly. So that was pretty different to our past recordings where we were just kind of like huddled around Mel's laptop at midnight being like, the song's out, post about it, the song's out. So it was pretty cool having that support from a label. So yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of Lollapalooza, since you guys just recently played it, you've also gotten to tour with Weezer and then also Jimmy Eat World and Pennywise you guys have also toured with. But I wanted to ask like a fun question for you. If you could choose three artists to go on a world tour with, who would you choose and what would you name the tour? And all of you guys are welcome to have different tours if you want.
Who wants to go first? I'm like thinking in my head, I'm like, who's going to play?
I gotta pull my Spotify. I'd be like, who am I listening to?
I know I'm on Spotify too. Are we doing big or small or anyone? Anyone in the world?
Anyone in the world? You can bring someone up from the dead if we want.
Ooh.
Oh, we're talking dead now.
That's a whole different monster.
I'm really into the Lady Gaga remix album, Dawn of Chromatica, right now. So I would love if Lady Gaga were to go on tour. Yeah. We would be main support. And Charlie XCX can be the first opener. And it'll be the Chromatica Ball. Or the, what, no, not the Chromatica Ball. It should be like the Aqua Ball because we're on it.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So according to my on repeat on Spotify, we would be going on a world tour with Poppy
yes.
and Rico Nasty.
Yes.
That would be so fun. So, like, Poppy, Rico Nasty. I would really love to do, like, Kesha or something. I don't know. I don't even know what the name would be, but something including, like, anger, angry something. Because I know Rico does, like, the anger management album. And then there's, like, Poppy's new album is, like, very angry music. So, I don't know. Something like that. Just getting your frustration out. Something about frustration. That would be cool.
Like, what if it was, like, Rage Fest? Because she has a song, Rage.
Rage, yeah. Something like that. That would be cool. So, especially with what music she's been doing now and, like, Poppy's new music, I feel like that would be such a cool touring package. Just going to throw the Lunatics in there just because they are the ultimate angry girl band. So, just, like, a whole bunch of yelling. I would just want to yell for the whole tour. Around the world.
Yelling around the world tour.
Yeah, something like that. That would be funny.
Coming to a stage near you, 2022.
Woo! Manifestation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's happening.
Yes. I think I'd go with, like, Willow and Miley Cyrus. And, like, I don't know, Turnstile. And, like, it'll just be, like, a power band or something. And we all play at once.
Oh my god.
Ooh.
Or like a battle of the bands and like
Scott Pilgrim style.
It's funny you mentioned Turnstile because the last Google search I made is an article and the headline is "Someone pooped in the pit at Turnstile's Santa Cruz show and it ended up on stage."
Oh my gosh, what the heck?
So, yeah, you mentioned Turnstile, so yeah.
That really, really good. They have a lot of cool, like, 80s, like, do-do-do-do-do-do, like, but wow, like, punk. So I was like, I don't know, I feel like that would just be a really fun group.
Ooh, all of them sound so fun. Style. Oh my gosh, best reference. Each other.
Amp versus Amp.
Yeah.
They used to do those at the feedback. Small.
Ooh, feedback.
There you go. Cool. Feedback like that. Tour. That's cute. That's a good name.
Pocket that for later. Someone write that down.
All of the tones.
Actually, feedback tour.
Woo! Oh my gosh. All of them sound so fun. Next year, 2022, it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, coming to a city near you.
Yes. Yeah. In 2019, you know, before everything shut down and we were changed forever, you guys released a rockumentary called Are You in the Band? Which highlights your guys' career and it's super awesome. And, like, I'm going to definitely link the rockumentary into your guys' post because I think everybody should see it. And I wanted I kind of also wanted to ask, like, another fun question. And everybody's welcome to have different answers as well. If you could provide the soundtrack for any film, what type of genre or storyline would you go with?
Oh my god, I would love to score a horror movie. That would be like my dream.
Yeah.
You go.
That would be sick. I'm going with an answer that, so usually my answer would be something spooky, but my brain automatically goes to how Air did the whole score for Virgin Suicides. I would want to do, like, a whole score for, like, a coming-of-age, Greta Gerwig-directed, like, freaking Sofia Coppola type of coming-of-age story. I mean, I feel like a lot of coming-of-age stories are, like, high school coming-of-age, so I feel like it'd be cool to do, like, Frances Ha-style, older coming-of-age story, finding your place in the world type of movie. But with those aesthetics of, like, the Greta Gerwig and, like, Booksmart, like, those type of movies. That's what I wanted. I think that'd be so fun.
Yeah, I'd do the same. I'd do, like, exactly the same.
I would love to, like, make, like, really creepy songs.
Ooh. Yeah. It's funny that you, like, bring up, like, all the coming-of-age movies, like, pretty much are high school movies. And it's like, oh my gosh, you're right. I want to see, like, some girl in her, like, mid-20s figuring out her life. Because it's like, you're in high school. You don't know what you want.
Yeah. I think
the anime Nana
Frances
is like
Ha
that.
Is a really good one that's not, like, a 15-year-old girl figuring out her life. So that's a really good one. But there should be more, like, older you're not going to figure out your life as a senior in high school.
It's kind of like the show Girls, like that concept. Like there's not that many. I don't know. Like maybe they don't have movies like that as much. I don't know.
Like yeah. They have like Sex in the City, but that's like an older demographic. But like people in their 20s, I don't know. I think Nana does a really good job with that. It's an anime. And it's like girls in their early to mid 20s in the rock scene playing shows and like getting jobs and dating and breaking up and dealing with the music industry. It's really interesting. I highly recommend it. I got Jackie into it.
Yeah, seriously anime. Hooked.
It sounds like it's right up my alley because, like, I love Sailor Moon and, like, I love Ronin Warriors and Cowboy Bebop's one of my favorites and I'm fucking stoked for the live action remake yes. that they're doing. The cast yes. is good.
It does.
Oh my god.
I have high hopes for that one because some live action remakes are questionable. But mm-hmm. this one looks good. I also have my Sailor Moon poster in the back. Oh yeah. We don't like to talk about the live action Death Note.
It's about two questions. We're going in like a kind of deeper mode here. Do you feel that women in the music industry need to portray themselves in like certain ways in order to be successful?
I mean, it goes kind of for anyone, but if you're working and trying to put yourself out there and you're working hard and you're consistent, then you will be successful, but like you just have to work harder. And I feel like it definitely is a lot harder for women in rock, especially, but now I feel like there are so many of us that are coming out and coming forward and just like making good music and playing shows that people just need to like listen and pay attention a little more because we exist. We're here. But it can be hard to, like, stand out.
Yeah. And, like, in terms of, like, portraying in a certain way, I feel like no matter what way people twist it, they're gonna, like, demonize women at the end of the day anyways. So it's just kind of, like, dressing the way that you... I feel like a lot of people, they give us crap about it, too. Like, we've gotten people that give us crap for dressing the way that we do. And we're purely just dressing the way we like and we present the way that we like. And that happens to be, like, sometimes a little bit more feminine or a little bit more sexy or a little bit more girly. And I feel like they're like, oh, well, you're playing into a stereotype. But then if we didn't do that and say maybe, quote unquote, dress a little bit more like conservative or a little bit less like eclectic, they'd be like, oh, well, you're just trying to be different. Like, they always find a way to demonize women in the industry. So I feel like either way you present, you really just can't win. And you have to let the music speak for itself most of the time, just because it is so hard already to get that attention. So I don't think you have to present a certain way to be successful. There are so many successful people that let the music speak for themselves and it got them places. And I just think if you want to present a certain way, whether it's a little bit more risque or a little bit more girly or a little bit more conservative, a little bit more tomboy, there is always a market for that. And I feel like a lot of the time people are like, well, what's the mainstream looking for? But there are so many really cool subcultures that are really successful. There is a target audience for everyone, I think. I don't think anyone has to present a certain way, but I feel like no matter what way you do present, someone's gonna say something, so you might as well just do what makes you happy and wear what you want and like make the music you want, dress the way you want, do whatever you want, because someone's not gonna like it and that's okay. You're gonna have haters and you're gonna have people that are like, hey, it's not for me. But I think the goal is just finding those people who it does resonate with and it does click with and just kind of sticking with what makes you happy, because it's really annoying that I feel like a lot of the times women in music have to go above and beyond just to be noticed, when men or not like people like that don't. They can be mediocre and still be successful in a way. That's really frustrating. That's what I have to say about that.
Yeah, be yourself and don't change yourself for anyone. Just do what you want to do. No matter what, like, people are going to demonize you because you're a woman. No matter what you do, if you look a certain way, present a certain way, if they don't like you, they're going to pick on anything.
Yeah.
And so just be yourself, because screw what anyone else thinks.
Yeah.
Just have fun.
Absolutely. And like, it kind of staying in the realm of women in the music industry, particularly in the rock industry, like, it's still kind of rare to like even see female fronted bands, like, let alone all female bands. And like, this includes girl groups as well for pop, which is unfortunate. Do you feel like there's almost like a list of reasons why female identifying artists would rather be in a solo setting as opposed to a group setting?
Honestly, I don't think there would be like a specific reason. I know just in general in the music industry, it is easier to sell a single person to a tour or pitch a single person to a label. It might be a little easier than it is because you're dealing with that one opinion instead of like in our case, there's three of us and there's like, I don't know, maybe that could be easier for some people. It's cheaper to go on the road as a solo artist, I assume, than us three with our team. Like, the more people in a group might be a little harder, but I don't see why it would. I don't know. I feel like people just expect women to be solo pop artists or like solo artists in a way. But I don't know if there's any like other reasoning other than it just might be easier to market solo artists than it is to, especially because in our band, all three of us sing and all three of us play a pretty big part. It's not like just one person in the backing band. So I feel like it can be a little harder to market people like that just because there's three people, there's three icons, and it's like maybe a little harder, but maybe I'm making excuses. I don't really know. I've never really thought about that before.
I don't know. I listen to so many girl groups, so I'm like, stan Luna, stan Blackpink, but I don't know. I think that there's just so many badass women that have bands, either female fronted, non-binary, or all female bands that rock.
Also, another thing is like, it's,
you can do it,
definitely out there. I just think people aren't looking in the right places is another thing. And yeah, a lot of the times in mainstream media, when there are bands and they break up, they end up doing solo anyways, whether it's female fronted or not. That happens a lot of the time where they end up breaking off and doing a solo thing. But I definitely think there's no like shortage of female fronted bands and trans fronted bands and like non-male presenting bands out there. I just think you really have to do the work. And a lot of the time the industry is not willing to put the work in unless they're called out. Yes. And then you kind of have to like force them and make them look for them, which is nice that more labels are doing that. And they're like being forced to look into local scenes and pick up these really amazing bands that haven't been getting recognition. So I think that's like a pretty positive part of being inside for a whole year. And TikTok and social media is a lot of smaller artists that wouldn't have gotten that opportunity otherwise got discovered, because there definitely is no shortage. They're literally everywhere, especially in California. Like, we have a whole thriving scene. So I just think you got to look in the right places and you have to want to look, because they're not just going to like pop out in the mainstream, because the mainstream is looking for a very specific image. And unfortunately, a lot of us just don't fit into that mold, which sucks. There shouldn't be a mold, period.
Yeah, absolutely. Break the mold.
Yes. I feel like it's starting to like crack a little bit. So hopefully it continues and everything becomes more inclusive to everybody. But we've definitely been seeing some positive changes and positive steps towards that, especially like recently. So crossing fingers. Yeah. What do you hope that your audience will take away from your music?
I just want them to have fun. And most of our songs, I feel like, are pretty fun vibes, like something that you just throw on with your friends when you're trying to have fun or go for a drive, maybe. I don't know. I feel like we kind of have songs for all sorts of moods. Like, we have like the upbeat songs, the more like emo songs, the more angry songs, the more sad songs, and then like the punk thrashy songs. We're kind of all over the place, but we just want to create a positive environment and a safe space for all of our fans that listen to us. If you're listening to us, you rock and you have good taste, and you're welcome.
Yeah, definitely. I just think I want people to feel like, no matter who they are, just feel like empowered, you know, kind of like get uplifted, even if it is like a sadder song, or like just like kind of feel related to, because I feel like that's always a really great feeling when you listen to music and you're like, I know exactly how that feels, like, whoa. So kind of relatability, is that a word?
Yeah.
Being empowered, just like associating it with good memories, because like that's always nice. So you can think back to a time and you're like, oh, like that is such a soundtrack for that time in my life. And I can like think of a handful of songs where I'm like, oh, that song reminds me of this time. And like, I would like to be associated with good memories, please.
Yes. Hopefully y'all make good memories, positive memories with our music. And don't show our music to any mean people, because then you might have bad associations with it. So only nice people can listen to our music.
Woo! Yes, we definitely want more positive memories after being in a pandemic for like almost 2 years. So
I know,
dude. Yeah,
craving some positivity.
Woo! Yes. And to end off the interview portion, you know, you guys have the new single that's out right now, but what other things should we be expecting from you in the near future?
We have another song coming out September 22nd. It's going to be called Crybaby, and it'll be our second single on NC Records.
Yes.
And it sounds very much kind of like the old school Aqua Dolls vibe, but with a new, fresh twist, and we all wrote on it together. So look out for that, and some more new stuff. We got a video, too, coming for Disappearing Girl that we shot a couple of weeks ago, and that'll be coming out just in a few days, I'm sure. So be on the lookout for a Disappearing Girl video.
Yeah. Yay. Just lots of new music, new writing, new tunes, new fans. Hopefully a tour eventually. That would be nice.
One of the 2022 tours that we just discussed.
Yeah, I think we're going to be touring in the spring. So look out for that, too. Yay. And any other shows in between, hopefully.
Woo, live music.
Hell yeah.
Where can everybody find you guys online?
You can find us online at The Aqua Dolls on all social media. We're there. Yeah,
everything.
Woohoo! It's easy enough for everybody to find, so. Yay! And to get into our coffee shop appreciation portion here at Crooners and Coffee Shops, we love our coffee. It is our life source.
Yes.
I wanted to shout out a coffee shop that's very close to my house. It's called Black Heart Coffee here in Lake Balboa. The staff is really nice. They have a gorgeous, like, Princess Leia mural out on the front. And they have a really good food and drink menu. So shout out to Black Heart Coffee in Lake Balboa. And I guess let's start with Kayla for her coffee shop.
Well, mine's pretty obvious. I'm going to do a little shout out to Rad Coffee. There are two locations. One is in downtown Covina, and the other is in downtown Upland. They are horror slash skate slash punk themed coffee shops with flyers littering the walls and a menu that is very, very large, but you might see a familiar face that can help you figure out that menu because it's a really large one. We have really yummy vegan treats from the Cosmic Bakery, Astro Tarts, Rice Krispies, all of the sweets you can imagine. Lots of nice options for any sort of dietary restrictions. And the coffee is strong as hell. So that is my recommendation for coffee.
Woo.
In Southern California.
Yay! Oh my gosh, did you just do the air horn? Did someone just do the air horn?
Yeah, I have it on call already.
I love it. I need to get that ringtone.
Never Life needs an air horn. It's a free download.
I'm going to download it after this just to be obnoxious.
Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah. Well, it was awesome having all of you on here, even though it's like really hot today.
Thanks for beating the heat with us.
Yes. Yeah, I hope that you guys
sweat it out together.
Woo! Seriously, it's gonna be like this for a while. I hope that you guys have a lot of success. I hope that you're staying safe and healthy. And to our listeners, stay safe out there, everyone, and stay caffeinated.